I've been in ministry 36 years. 36 sounds like a big number in some settings and not so big in other settings. But for the first 6 years, I served at Princeton Alliance Church in Princeton, New Jersey, real close to where I was born and raised. And the 6 years of ministry there, just, I remember getting a phone call one Sunday morning, believe it or not, from a nurse who worked in a labor and delivery unit in a local hospital who attended our church. And she said, "Pastor Don, do we have anybody in our church that's looking to adopt a child that's just about ready to be born?" And believe it or not, we did. And had the opportunity that Sunday afternoon, that same day, to see the family from our church walking out of the hospital with their newborn child, which they had already done all the work needed in order to adopt a child. So it was wonderfully ordained that God would provide a child in that way. But then as well, to walk into a hospital room and see a couple that was a part of our church who had been trying for years and years to have their first child, and to have heard that that first child, who was 9 months old, still in the womb, no longer had a heartbeat, and to come alongside them during that time. And so those 6 years were wonderful opportunities for ministry. Then the Lord led us to eastern Pennsylvania, in the York area, if you're familiar with that city, halfway between Harrisburg and Baltimore. And we served there for 20 years and had wonderful opportunities to minister to the Lord's family there. And I remember walking out of a hospital with one of the men in our church who his wife had just fought, and himself fought so valiantly against the cancer that had increasingly taken over her body. And he was just emptied with all of the emotion of having watch his wife take her last breath here on this earth. And then helping a local family who were not connected to our church have a memorial service for their fallen son. He was one of the early casualties who gave his life for our nation in Iraq. And God wonderfully provided a way to allow the community to minister to that family in a very special way. And believe it or not, after 20 years there, I arrived at the Village Church and have been here now for 10 years. Just seems like yesterday in many ways. But here we've participated in memorial services for those that we've only gotten to know in the sunset of their lives. And sunsets are beautiful. They really, really are beautiful. When you look out to the west and see the sun setting, and we've experienced that, and we've at least three times helped three different Shell Point teams deal with sudden, unexpected loss of a coworker. And then going to more 90 and 100-year-old birthday parties than I ever thought possible, than I could ever dreamed of. And it happens on a regular basis right here in this community. And I recall those things because there was a commonality in all of those events and many, many others as well, that during them and after them, others were around them, caring for them. Caring for one another is not always fun or easy. No one ever said it would be. However, the degree of difficulty does not remove the responsibility that God has given all of us to care for one another. In God's economy, it's front and center. The way we love others, the way we care for others, and that's especially true in the church. So just for a moment, I'd like to go back, back beyond even my ministry, back to the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And he created man and woman to live here. He created a garden as a provision for Adam and Eve, providing work and food and a connection place with God. Remember Genesis 3 verse 8? Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. It must have been a common occurrence where God and Adam and Eve would just connect with one another. And the garden provided that. God knew that he needed to care for the humans that he had created. In fact, he continues to sustain all life here on this earth. It could be one of the reasons why it's so overwhelming when we send astronauts up into space on the other side of the moon and they see the blue earth and how it's a spiritual experience for them. And as we're reminded in Acts 17 verse 25, and he, God, is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. Which means he continues to provide all that we need. Every human being is absolutely dependent on God for his care, both for our physical needs and our spiritual ones as well. Because of Adam and Eve's sin and God's gracious response to their choice, we need a Savior who will care for the biggest need in our lives. So as followers of Jesus, we're called to love one another as ourselves, right? The Bible is very clear on that. It's full of commands and examples about our relationship to each other. There, just to name a few, in case you forgot, we're to love one another, John 15, verse 12. We're to honor one another, Romans 12, verse 10. We're to greet one another, Romans 16, verse 16. We're to have fellowship with one another, 1 John 1, 7. We're to be kind to one another, Ephesians 4, 32. We're to forgive one another, Colossians 3, 13. We're to care for one another, 1 Corinthians 12, 25. We're to live in harmony with one another, Romans 12, 16. And we're to pray for one another, James 5:16. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Those that have counted, some have gone more than 35 different commands given and the way in which is our responsibility as followers of Jesus to care for one another. That's why in our mission statement of our church, we include the word community. And it's an integral part of our mission statement. We are building a community of forgiveness, purpose, and hope in Jesus Christ. Building a community, it means that we are a work in progress, that the village, God is working at the village church not only in our individual lives, but in our communal lives as well. Among other things, the church gives us an opportunity to exercise the growing faith that he has given us. As an example, in our own context, comes when God gives us the opportunity to gather together in the second floor of the parking garage or the Larson Health Center because of an impending storm. My wife and I, after being told 10 years ago, oh, most of the storms don't hit Fort Myers, it comes around the the tip of Florida, and they all just go further to the north, and very rarely, in fact, there was only one storm in a long time that ever hit Fort Myers, Charlie. Everybody talks about Charlie. But three times, we've joined together with 1,000 of our closest friends on the second floor of the parking garage and received wonderful care while we were being, you know, in that evacuation place that we have right here on campus. But the amazing thing about it is each time we were blown away by the way in which people were caring for one another. I mean, you wouldn't believe it unless you saw it. There was so much wisdom in putting people, as we're evacuated, in with your other court residents. And so you're around people that you know. And you see, it's not only husbands helping wives. It's others that are live nearby or are your friends taking care of each other. And not only that, but then there's 100 or more ShellPoint employees. We know that each one of them has a family close by, a wife and kids, who are there taking care of us as well. What a community that truly cares for one another. We hope we never have to experience that again. Hopefully my description of it is enough we trust that we never will have to see that again. But it was a wonderful illustration of people that care for one another. And if you're a resident of our community, if you're a resident of ShellPoint, you know and you've experienced its many facets of care. We have healthy living coordinators. We have this amazing group of volunteers called the Auxiliary, which minister in the Larson Health Center. We have the chaplaincy ministry. We have court reps caring for people in our community. And then there's the Larson Health Center, and with its physicians and rehab professionals and nursing aides and activity coordinators and the skilled nursing team that works out of there. Just demonstrating the commitment that our community has to care for its residents. And I know some of you aren't residents of our community. You actually come through the gate to come to church, and we are blessed that you're willing to do that each and every Sunday. And so it begs the question, how do we care for one another here at the Village Church? And so, because you've asked me that question, let me tell you some of the ways. Because there's a list of things right here. We provide weekly opportunities to worship God in our Sunday services. These are gathering opportunities where we see others that are Christ followers that desire to worship God. There's the teaching ministry of Pastor Andy and others from this pulpit, caring for the needs, the spiritual needs of our people. There's the prayer ministry on Tuesday afternoon and Wednesday evening and other times of prayer all throughout our community and church where people are taking one another and the larger needs that we have to the throne of grace, praying for our international workers that are serving God around the world. There are small groups, our Bible studies, our CLS classes, our church library back in the corner over there. Wonderful opportunities to demonstrate the kind of care that we have for those that are a part of our church. We have hospital visitation. We have healing services for people that are dealing with particular physical needs that they have. We try and visit, if you're new to this church, we try and give a visit, an in-person, face-to-face visit to everybody that comes and fills out the card or puts money in the offering, which usually has a check connected to that. And we want to welcome you. We want to thank you for participating in our service because we care about you and for you. And then there's the individual, creative caring that happens all the time. Just yesterday, I was talking to someone who said he and his wife had decided the day before on Friday to go to the hospital and when they arrived at Gulf Coast, they went in two different directions. The husband to see one fellow who was there, and the wife to see someone else, a gal who was there. And they did that on their own. Not because they were asked to do it, not because, you know, it was on a box that they had to check off. They just were caring for one another here in the church. So that's a big list right there. But in addition, 9 years ago, the elders decided to develop a new model for shepherding. Scripture is very clear on their responsibility given by God to care for his children. It's based on 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4, which is as follows. It's going to be up there on the screen. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, Peter writes, a witness of Christ's sufferings and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that's under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. There's a command that we read right at the beginning. Elders, be shepherds of God's flock that's under your care. Be shepherds. And that's the way in which that happens. We'll talk about that in a few moments. But very clear, the responsibility of the leaders in the church to be shepherds of the flock of God. And then that text went on to give us the right way and the wrong way. Not because you must the wrong way, but the right way, but because you are willing. It shouldn't be a duty, but it should be a demonstration of love. A wonderful way in which you can love one another, specifically with those that you have been called to be their shepherd. And not greedy for money, but eager to serve. We have 35 shepherds, and only two of them, Pastor Andy and myself, are paid to do that, along with a few other things that we're responsible for. But everyone else, 33 shepherds, none of them receive any remuneration. Not doing this for money, but because they're eager to serve. They're willing to sacrifice themselves for others. And then not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Treating your sheep the way that you would want to be treated. And so, if they're doing that, if they're shepherding God's flock, interesting, so interesting that Peter chooses to give a reward at the end of the text right there. You will receive the crown of glory. Jesus will reward shepherds for their ministry. As if just doing this for the purpose of doing this is enough. No, you are going to be responsible and rewarded for your ministry. And so, as the elders looked at that 9 years ago, they took into account I'll use these words specifically, the uniqueness of the village church. There are some very unique things that are in our ministry, in our church, the people that are a part of this church. They developed this purpose statement for our shepherding ministry, to provide elder support, encouragement, and assistance to those associated with the village church as part of its mission of forgiveness, purpose, and hope. And we began first with those who were members, both regular and associate members, since we have both of our church, and divided them into, remember this was 8 years ago, 21 governing and shepherding elders. Now that was a hefty load initially with some 400 members divided amongst the elders. So each shepherd had about 20 sheep that he was responsible for. And we tried as much as possible to build on existing relationships when we were putting these initial groups together, and just feeling like that would get it off on the right foot if there were connections already in place. And we also used geographic location as well, knowing that having a shepherd that lived close to you, close by, would be a wonderful thing. And so we continue to use those two strategies, build shepherding on relationships that are already existing and looking at geographic proximity. Thankfully, in recent years, we have added to the number of shepherding elders. From 9, where we first started, to 18. We've doubled the number of shepherding elders. In addition, last year, the governing elders decided to add to the number of shepherds by creating a position called lay shepherd to increase the coverage and effectiveness of our shepherding ministry. Amenable to a specific elder, we now have 5 spiritually qualified women that are shepherds to other women in our church. The governing elders recognize that having a female shepherd option for other women, especially for those who are single, would be a blessing to the entire church. In fact, if there are any women who already have a shepherd and you would like to maybe consider a female shepherd, just talk to the 2 young ladies at the back table in the lobby. After the service, give them your name and we'll see if we can help you. In addition, because of the current number of shepherds, we're able to add some regular attenders to our shepherding ministry. If you're not a member of the Village Church, but you're interested in having a shepherd, you talk to either one of those 2 young ladies in the back as well. We're going to make sure they're busy after the service. Give them your name and we will see what we can do to help you to get a shepherd. As of today, we are shepherding 385 sheep at the Village Church with 35 shepherds. That's amazing. Thank God for that opportunity. So what do we ask shepherds at the Village Church to do? Thank you for asking. We have had and continue to have a lot of discussion about this. Scripture does not give specific instructions on the activity of shepherds. When we began, we considered the unique qualities of our church, of our shepherds, and of our sheep, and decided that simplicity would be our target. So the shepherds are asked in their roles as shepherds to do 2 things. Pray for your sheep and connect with your sheep so that you can pray effectively. And so, our denomination, the Christian Missionary Alliance, lists prayer as one of the core values. It says prayer is the primary work. It is the foundational work of God's people. And if you look on the lobby as you're heading out after the service to see where the core values are as I'm looking at the back on the ladies' bathroom side of the wall in the lobby, you will read the work of prayer, one of our core values, the work of prayer, the unreserved dependence on the practice of prayer. Because the reality is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are the best caregivers ever. And the prayers of our shepherds on your behalf are where great care begins. I mean, what did Jesus say is another name for the Holy Spirit? The Comforter. The Comforter. In addition, Jesus said in John 10, a good shepherd, I am the good shepherd, in the text that Jerry has already read for us. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. We want your shepherd to know who you are, some things about you, some blessings that you've experienced in your life, and some challenges that you have faced or are continuing to face. Now, we want your shepherd to know his sheep so that their prayers on your behalf reflect what you are facing. If that's the case, you'll have the continued opportunity to maintain and strengthen your relationship with your shepherd. You will be cared for from God through your shepherd. Truth be told, it would have been a lot easier to give every shepherd the exact same strategy in order to be successful. One size fits all. That's an easy way to do this. It could be something like this. Create a group. Okay, shepherd, create a group. Get them together every other week or maybe once a month. Lead a devotional and pray together. And don't forget the food. You know, whenever you get together, you got to have food if they're going to come, kind of a thing. And that's it. And you could check the box. I'm a successful shepherd. However, we chose not to do this in an easy fashion. We chose to trust the shepherds to figure out the best way to connect with and pray for their sheep. I mean, just figure out the best way to do that. Some of our shepherds meet one-on-one with their sheep. Some of them use telephone. Some of them use email and text. Some of them get their sheep together as a group. If it works for the shepherd and the sheep, we've said, go for it. Go for it. Because it really is a unique relationship that you have with your shepherd. Oh, I wish my shepherd baked bread for his or her sheep on their birthday. I use that as an example because there is a shepherd who does that. But you can't have that shepherd. He already has plenty to shepherd. You have a relationship with your shepherd. And so, work on building that relationship. You have a relationship with your own shepherd who's praying for you. Well, what about the role of sheep? Because this is a two-way relationship right here. Remember, keep it simple. Pray for your shepherd and connect with your shepherd so that your prayers for your shepherd and the shepherd's prayers for you are spot on. Unlike real sheep in a field who are not made in the image of God and don't speak our language, you are a fellow Christ follower who's trying to love God and others every day. You should be thankful that Jesus has decided that he could delegate some of his shepherding responsibilities to qualified leaders in the church in order to care for his flock. So stay connected with your shepherd. Let them know how you're doing. Encourage your shepherd. Pray for them. I'll never forget, and this was maybe 8 years ago. There used to be this building called the Pavilion. I'm just being a little bit smiling right now. Right next to us over here, which was our health center before the Larson Health Center. And in the Pavilion, I was asked one day to go up to meet someone I'd never met before, and his name was Joe. Joe Grape. And Joe was 103 years old, and he was in the hospice part of the fourth floor of the Pavilion. And I walked in, and I found out his daughter's right in the back over here. She's a resident too. But Joe is from New Jersey. Yes. And we had Joe was active in Boy Scouts as an adult. Yes. You know, Joe and I had a wonderful time together. Remember, he was under hospice care at the time, 103 years old. And we said, I said, you know, at the appropriate time, Joe, can I pray for you as we were getting ready to conclude? And he said, Pastor Don, you can only pray for me if I can pray for you. And I said, Joe, you got a deal. And so I prayed for him, and then he prayed for me. And then a few months later, we had the opportunity to to do a wonderful service over there with people giving praise to God on Joe's life and how he touched so many with the Spirit of God. And so praying for your shepherd is so important and invaluable. So, you know, ideally shepherding is a two-way relationship with both you and the shepherd and the sheep playing their God-given role. If you're not connecting with your shepherd, if this relationship just isn't working, talk to those two ladies in the back as well, or you can talk to me, and we can make sure that it would happen, that you find a shepherd that you can connect with. So, bringing this to an end, just a friendly reminder to all that all shepherds in the Village Church are imperfect. Let me just repeat that. All the shepherds that we have in our church are imperfect. But not only that, all the sheep that we have in our church are just as imperfect. We're all a work in progress. Thankfully, we all, both shepherds and sheep, have a chief shepherd who's watching over everything that's going on. Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd because he laid down his life for the sheep. He paid the penalty for our sin and invited us to join his flock. So I wanted to close our time together by speaking in unison the psalm we know that describes our Good Shepherd, okay? Psalm 23, King James Version. So let's read this together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you for designing care the way that you did, giving all of us the responsibility to show care to one another, but then giving specific responsibility in your church for shepherds to shepherd the flock, sort of a additional layer or sort of an added benefit, a premium that you have placed on caring for your children in your church. Lord, we can only do that in the power of your Holy Spirit. So help us, Lord. Help us, please help us to demonstrate the care that you have for us with one another. In Jesus' name, amen.